Hello and welcome to the Innovation Forum podcast for Friday 25th of April with me, Ian Welsh. Innovation Forum was on the road this week in Amsterdam for the European leg of this year's Sustainable Apparel and Textiles event series. In the run-up to the event, I spoke with Holstein Laboratories Technical Director for Europe, John Murphy, about certification standards for the apparel sector and the supply chain reassurances that they can provide. That's coming up. First though, to reflect on a fascinating 2 days in Amsterdam, I was delighted to have a conversation with Christine Gulley from Sustainable Advisory Services and Amy Nguyen from Sustainable and Social, summing up some of the conversations and highlights across the 2 days. So Christine, what were you hoping to hear at the conference?
I always love coming to your events because I feel like we get to a level of conversation that doesn't remain high level, but we can really get to some of these good, actionable nuggets. You know, one of my friends, we go to conferences, we say, what was the nugget? What nugget did you get? And I feel like I walk away from these events with a lot of nuggets of like, oh, okay, I heard that they tried that and it didn't work. So maybe when we look at it, we can do it this way. And I feel like we did that, you know, with a lot of the breakouts. I did my breakout on next gen materials. I know there was one on scope 3 reductions. There was a lot on circularity and business models today. So yeah, I was very happy to hear those.
And what were you hoping to hear, Amy?
I was hoping to hear about how brands are tackling some of these really, really hard-hitting issues. So whether that's related to biodiversity, whether that's about communicating their green claims, also how they're helping their suppliers reduce their scope 3 greenhouse gas emissions as well. And what I really enjoyed was the vulnerability of the conversations, people being honest, people saying that it was really scary. Yeah, that was great.
Okay, what enthused you most then, Christine?
I think I'm most enthusiastic by this idea of being more innovative when we look at business models. And it doesn't need to be just like a circular business model, but in general, when we're approaching these difficult issues and how we're going to integrate sustainability or innovation, thinking about the paradigm differently and not just saying there's a premium on procurement, but looking at that life of the product and the service life of that product and where are the points where you might have revenue opportunities and where are the points where you're going to lower costs and not just thinking if we don't pay upfront, we're going to pay later. How do we look at this in a different way, in a more holistic, systemic way in terms of how the model works?
And how about you, Amy?
I think something that came away was that we heard a lot from the manufacturers as well, and we heard about data fatigue, balancing inputting data into 15 different systems. So it was really important to also hear from brands and also like data providers and different tech platforms to how they're bridging that gap as well and making it easier for everyone and more interoperable.
Yes, and I heard a lot about security and ownership of data. The tsunami of regulation was also something we talked about a lot. Everyone seems to want regulation that will allow competitiveness and affordability, but ensure brand accountability. What about circularity, Christine?
Yeah, well, I think compared to last year where there was a panel also on circular business models, looking at the progress that's been made, so beyond this experimentation, let's throw things against the wall and see what sticks, but really more methodical about it to kind of say, no, this is the right product fit for this model. Why don't we try this? And this progression of testing, iterating, improving, scaling. So we had a lot of good sharings around what's worked and what hasn't and why for different brands. So,
what about you, Amy? What did you pick up in terms of circularity?
I actually want to call out Christine's session that she did, the breakout session on scaling next-gen materials as well. It's like, how can we make next-gen now? It was really great to hear about what hasn't worked and what has. And then I also think looking at the customer journey as well, like how can we onboard them in circular business models in an easy way that's also commercially viable.
Well, what stood out for me was combining extended producer responsibility with digital product passports, which could allow product creators the benefits of from resale. It struck me that economic incentives do shift the needle, and this could bait them in from the design stage. But it all comes back to data, better data, better data. So what do you think we'll see next time, Amy?
I hope that we will get to see lots more about the biodiversity and nature agenda, how businesses are setting science-based targets to do with that. I'd also love to hear more about plastics. We are going to have the UN Global Plastics Treaty very soon, so how the industry is working towards that.
And Christine, what will we see next time, do you think?
I'd love to hear more about the social human rights labor part and how that's going to shift with the shifts happening in supply chains now with legislation, but also with innovation and how we can work together to make sure people are upskilled, there's capacity building happening, and how I think now with technology that's going to enable us, and with the search for visibility over supply chains, that's going to enable us to work more closely with people in our supply chain. So we'd love to hear more about that.
Yes, there are some really exciting potential conversations next time. But for now, thanks very much for joining us this year, Christine and Amy.
Thank you, Ian. Thanks so much.
I had a fascinating conversation recently with John Murphy, Hostein Laboratories Technical Director for Europe, about certification standards for the apparel sector. Why don't you start by giving us an introduction to Hohenstein's work? What do you do and why?
Hohenstein is a family company. It started off as an academy teaching people about textiles and then it developed into testing. I still kept the academy going. And nowadays, Hohenstein ensures that our clothing not only looks good, but fits properly, functions as intended, and most importantly, does not contain any harmful substances. Hohenstein guarantees this with textile testing, certifications, and cutting-edge research, as well as transferring our knowledge, which we have built up over decades.
So what are your principal certification standards then?
We have five principal certification standards. It all started off 32 years ago with the Ercotex Standard 100. This is very much an output control, and it really ensures that every single component in the final garment has been tested for harmful substances. It's globally recognised, it's independently tested certification system, and it's used for raw, semi-finished and finished goods at all processing levels. The second output control is the Ercotex Made in Green. This ensures there's transparency and traceability throughout the supply chain. For transparency, it shows buyers and consumers that the textile and leather products are tested for harmful substances. And additionally, and this is really important, have been manufactured within the verified framework of social and safe working conditions by using environmentally friendly production processes. The third one is the process control. So here we're looking at the dyers, the finishers, and the printers. And this is where we can reliably analyze and assess and certify the manufacturing process and working conditions and the production facilities with regards to ecological and social aspects to ensure transparency through the supply chain. Ercotex STEP stands for Sustainable Textile and Leather Production. It's an independent certification system for production facilities, and it really ensures that the facilities can communicate with environmentally friendly manufacturing processes and socially responsible working conditions. There's six modules in STEP. There's chemical management, environmental performance, environmental management, social responsibility, occupational health and safety, and quality management, and in addition, can measure the carbon and water footprint. The fourth label is the Ercotex Eco Passport. And really, this shows that if you control the inputs into the process controls and the output controls, then you end up with a very safe garment. The Eco Passport reliably manages and controls the chemicals used for textile and leather production before they are fed into the manufacturing processes. It's a multi-stage verification system, and it ensures it's independent, and it ensures that the dyes, the chemicals, and the auxiliaries going onto the clothing have been independently tested and meet industry standards. The final Ercotex certification is organic cotton, and this certifies that all the textile products which are certified with organic cotton label, it's a credible document to ensure the goods are reliably made of organic cotton or blends, and it's a globally uniform independent certification system for raw materials. So that's the five certification systems, Ian.
Very comprehensive indeed. What benefits then do these bring to companies in apparel supply chains?
The companies in the apparel supply chains operate across many countries, and there's many challenges with the chemicals, particularly regulations between local and national governments. There's increased scrutiny from regulators, NGOs such as Greenpeace, and consumers over textile sustainability and worker protection. And supply chains are expanding all the time through contract manufacturing models. And technical resources are decreasing at the brands, factories and mills. One of the greatest challenges the apparel, footwear and textile industry faces is not knowing how many single chemicals are entering facilities. It's estimated that there's between 4,000 and 8,000 individual CAS numbers. That refers to individual chemicals being used. All these CAS numbers, individual chemicals, are put together in the formulations And so these 4,000 to 8,000 cast numbers can produce an unlimited number of formulations with interactions between themselves. So the certification ensures that there's no harmful chemistry going through the supply chains and then actually impacting final consumers.
Let's think about the consumers for a second then. How specifically do your various certifications protect consumers?
It's critical. Having just said that, we've always said what goes on the textiles or goes into the textile process must come out. Chemicals and dyes used in the production of textiles and leather are not normally food grade quality, nor do they have pharmaceutical purity. It's a commodity market generally, and they tend to use industrial type chemicals. Impurities and harmful substances found in textiles, leather, adhesive prints, metal items, and other components can have a negative impact on worker and consumer health. If the chemicals used in production do not remain in one of the products, they're released into the environment during manufacture or consumer use, either result can harm humans and ecosystems. The various certification schemes ensure that no harmful chemistry, number one, is put into the supply chain via the Eco Passport. So we ensure that all the chemicals being used meet international requirements. We ensure via the STEP sustainable textile production that our textiles are produced in a safe, reproducible way with no impact on the workers or on the surrounding infrastructure and surrounding factories. And we also ensure that the output is fit to be made into clothing. And then finally, we have the output control where we use Made in Green and Standard 100 to ensure the safety of the final clothing. This ensures that if it is labelled with the Ercotex certifications, there is a very good protection for consumers, bearing in mind the industrial grade imports which are going into the system.
For brands then, when you're speaking to companies, what are the risks you talk to them about in terms of the risks that you can help them protect against?
Many of the brands, in fact all the brands, have a sustainability type policies. Protecting people and the planet with greener chemistry requires the proactive elimination of hazardous chemicals. It involves transparent communication, worker training, careful monitoring and storage. And it means global monitoring of laws and restricted substances and suppliers. It's really challenging. As we've already said, there's long, complicated supply chains, which is common in the apparel, footwear, leather and textile industry, and no company can do it alone. What we do in collaboration with the brands, and we work very closely, we ensure that industry initiatives are followed and respected. There's independent certification systems, and we update the standards and harmonise across the industry and verify it through real laboratory testing. And this gives the brands tremendous reassurance and confidence moving forward that their supply chains, which we don't always have full visibility of, are all certified and it meets international requirements. So it's actually seen as a great reassurance for brands and helps them safeguard their reputations.
How much of a risk here is fraud? And what do you do to guard against fraudulent certification?
Fraud is a real risk in our industry. And the first point we have, it's a very open and transparent system. We have the buyer's guide, and this is freely available. It's, if you go and type into the Google Ercotex buyer's guide, it comes up. And here you can look up all the certifications we issue. It's a very open website, and you can type in the label you're trying to look up. So you may have a garment with the Ercotex 100 label on or Made in Green. You can type in the brand or retailer which has this label, and it will come up with the certification which we actually have. So it's an open and transparent system. And then the brands and retailers can actually look at it to source Eco Passport certified dyes, chemicals and auxiliaries. And also they can look for the processors and look for dyes, printers and finishers with the STEP certification. So number one, it's a very open and transparent system. And number two, we do audit the dyeing chemical manufacturers. We audit the factories. And we also audit where standard 100 garments are manufactured. We employ no external auditors. So all auditors are employed by the Ercotex Institute. So we have very good management control. And finally, all our labels have a barcode, which can be scanned, providing traceability and transparency. So it's an open system. Despite the free safeguards of the buyer's guide, all employees are employed by Ercotex or one of the institutes, and the labels with a barcode, there can still be occasions where there is fraudulent activity, and where we see that and find that, we obviously pass it to our legal teams and they follow it up in a robust manner.
And I guess in terms of material contamination, there must be occasions where there is mistaken contamination of material and then instances when there is intentional contamination of material. How do you differentiate between the two?
When the chemical manufacturers apply for the Eco Passport, the stage one, where they actually divulge their chemical composition. At that point, we do a very open RSL restricted substances list and manufacturer's restricted substances list screening. So this is what's intentionally added. If we find hazardous chemistry at that point, we go back to the chemical manufacturer and we're very open and we say, in collaboration, you've actually got hazardous chemistry here. It's not suitable for EcoPassport certification. And we encourage them to reformulate, taking out the hazardous chemistry and replacing it with less or non-hazardous chemistry. So number one, we do a RSL-MRSL check. It's very much in collaboration with the brand or retailer. So that's the intentionally added contaminants. Contaminants may not be intentionally added. They result from manufacturing issues, handling procedures, maybe also contamination in transport or changes made by a supplier of the raw materials to the chemical manufacturer. What we do is every single dye, chemical, and auxiliary applying for the input control of the EcoPassport is tested in the laboratory. About 1% of cases, we find non-intentionally added contaminants. If these are substances of very high concern and may be harmful to the environment of a human being, what we will do is we go back to the chemical manufacturer and we will say to the chemical manufacturer, in collaboration, we found some non-intentionally added contaminants. They are hazardous. And we'd encourage them to trace the source and normally can make an educated guess depending on the contaminant. As I've said, it can either come from their manufacturing process, it can come from non-intentionally added by their suppliers of raw materials, maybe the salts or the H acids, J acids, etc. Or it could have been contaminated in transport or even in the packaging sent to us. If they can show they can eliminate the non-intentionally added hazardous contaminant, then we can proceed with the certification with a fresh sample. So it's very much done in collaboration with the chemical companies, and most chemical companies welcome the input. If we can find hazardous substances at the input control and eliminate them, it ensures the safety of the whole supply chain.
You mentioned just now MRSL tests. What are these?
Most brands and retailers have a restricted substances list. They may have 1,200 substances on there, and they say they should either not be present on the material or they can be present below a certain threshold. A restricted substances list, which applies to clothing in general, like fashion items, and it could also be footwear and leather. A manufacturer's restricted substances list is exactly the same kind of list which applies to dyes, chemicals, and auxiliaries. So what you do is you control for the manufactured restricted substances list for contaminants going into the dyes and chemicals in parts per million normally, and that ensures that if the dyes and chemicals are not contaminated and you have this manufacturer's restricted substances list, and it ensures that it meets requirements of a restricted substances list of the brands and retailers. So there's a direct link between the MRSL used for dye and chemical manufacturers and the RSL used by brands and retailers.
How do you characterise then the apparel sector's approach to material certification? Is it progressive? What do leaders look like? What do laggards look like?
There's been tremendous progress over the last 13 years. In 2011, Greenpeace launched its famous detox campaign, and it challenged the apparel and footwear industries to eliminate discharge and the use of hazardous substances. Until then, an awful lot of focus had been on the processors, mainly in Asia, and a lot of them were in China, where there was massive pollution of rivers, etc. In 2011, Greenpeace detox campaign started to focus on the brands and the retailers who were actually ordering and selling these garments. A tremendous collaboration began, and this led to the formation of Zero Discharge of Hazardous Chemicals, ZDHC. There were six original signatory brands committed to a joint roadmap for eliminating discharge of hazardous substances and accelerating progress towards safer production and cleaner discharge pathways. There's now more than 41 brands who've signed up to Greenpeace as signatories, and it's more than the brands and retailers. ZDHC is now a multi-stakeholder organisation comprising over 320 signatories from across the industry, including brands, suppliers, solution providers, and chemical suppliers. So it covers the whole industry. And they meet on a regular basis. There's a tremendous amount of collaboration, and it leads the fashion industry to eliminate harmful chemicals from its global supply chain by building the foundation for more sustainable manufacturing to protect workers, consumers, and our planet's ecosystems. Certifiers such as Hohenstein and Ercotex, we have a partnership with ZDHC and work very closely in collaboration. So I would say with the 320 signatories and the 41 brands and retailers involved with ZDHC, there's a great deal of enthusiasm and collaboration moving forward, and it's a tremendous step forward.
What do you expect then for the future? What can certification do in the apparel sector? What do you hope for and what do you expect to have?
It's all about collaboration. And what do we expect certification to do in the future? I think the current certification does a really good job of ensuring that the input controls, the dyes, the chemicals, the auxiliaries, etc., are largely free of harmful substances and hazardous substances. It ensures that the processes are doing things in a sustainable way. There's no risk to human health. There's no risk to the environment, etc. And we're producing very good garments manufactured in sustainable conditions. And the garments themselves do not pose a risk to the consumer. I think the next level of vision will come where we move towards aspirational chemistry. And aspirational chemistry will obviously involve a smaller water and carbon footprint. It will involve KPIs across the supply chain, key performance indicators, ensuring that chemistry is truly cutting edge, not commodity chemistry, sustainable, and providing benefits to the consumers. And then on top of that, you've got the EU Green Deal coming on. And the objective of the EU Green Deal is to ensure that all textile products based on the UK market are durable, repairable, and recyclable. So it's the next level going forward, and to a great extent made of recycled fibres, ensuring they're still free of hazardous substances produced in respect of social rights and the environment, as opposed to ensuring that the current clothing is fit for use and the certifications do that. I think the next level will be looking at using more aspirational type chemistry, ensuring that we have a sustainable textile industry and our clothing is longer lasting, it's more durable, it's repairable, and at the end of its life, it's recycled, moving away from fast fashion. And I believe the certifications will develop more in that direction.
It's all fascinating stuff. Always nice to hear about aspirational chemistry. Look forward to hearing more as we go forward. John Murphy from Hohenstein, thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Ian. It's been a pleasure to be here.
And do look out for a further reflection from the Sustainable Apparel and Textiles Conference in the coming weeks, in the newsletter and on the Innovation Forum website. But that's it for now. I've been Ian Welsh, and until next time, goodbye.